You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Amen. Once again, we want to thank this great man of God, this man of great integrity, this man that loves God and loves God's people, amen. Pastor Charles Twyman, for this opportunity. Amen. Knowing there's nothing so wonderful or great that I deserve this right to stand where God has declared him the man of God in this local assembly. But I thank you, Pastor, once again for this opportunity. Amen. And for all the brothers, my brothers in the ministry, for all the trustees and deacons, and for all my guests and their friends, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just so that you know, the reason that you don't see Sister Bennett here this morning, she had made plans to go to celebrate her mother's 90th birthday. Amen. Before she knew that I was going to be preaching this morning. Her mother had made a request of her and her sister of somewhere she wanted to go. The Lord blessed them with the opportunity and the finance to be able to take their mother to Hawaii. All right. So that's why you don't see her here this morning. But she sends her love to the Macedonia Baptist Church and especially to her pastor, Pastor Charles Twyman. I'd like to draw your attention this morning to the gospel, not the gospel, but the book of Romans, chapter 12. We'll be looking at one verse, the A clause of this particular verse. Chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. And from that particular A clause of that particular verse, we would like to speak to you from this thought. The blueprint for Christian behavior. The blueprint for Christian behavior. Yes, sir. In the 20th century, there are three names of top regards as it comes to being an architect or a designer. One is named Rem Koolhaas, a Dutchman. One is named Robert Ventura, an American from Philadelphia. And one is named Peter Eiserman, a Jew, a Jewish American of Northwick, New Jersey. After looking at these men's background and what they accomplished, they built some of the most beautiful buildings that ever been erected in this world. But three things stood out about them that was common among each one of them.
Yes, sir.
They always built on a good foundation. And they always built buildings of great soundness. And they were aesthetically pleasing. They were beautiful. But way before these men were born and came into the world, there was a supreme architect that fashioned this world together. And he did it upon three elements: his word, his compassion, and his love. I want to focus this morning on one of those elements that he built upon was his love, as we look at the rest of this sermon this morning. Because of the spiritual concept in the natural dimension, it's not always easy for man to understand the blueprint of God. Many times, we look at things and base it on their sight,
yes, sir,
not understanding the spiritual dimension behind it.
Yes, sir.
And for that reason, Paul made this statement in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his power and his divine nature has been clearly seen,
yes,
being understood through what has been made. But man, as he always is, and always will be since the fall of man, wants to question God. No different than Job, But God had to put him in remembrance of something, just like he needs to remind us of something this morning. In the 38th chapter of Job, that 4th through the 6th verse, he asked Job some specific questions, and we must ask ourselves these same questions this morning. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who has laid the measure thereof if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Where upon the foundation there are fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? So the question has to be asked this morning, what is a blueprint? The technical answer that is given is a blueprint is a type of paper-based reproduction, usually of technical drawing documenting an architectural or an engineering design. Yes, sir. The most simplest term is a detailed plan. A detailed plan. God himself laid out a detailed plan way back in Genesis when he said, let there be.
Yes, sir.
And all things that came from the chief architect was formed by his words. He framed work of everything under the sun, and he said it was very good. But once again, man always wants to be the architect of his own life. For whatever reason, we think we can do it better than God. Then and now, we still think that we can do it better than God. And all of mankind had a great fall. And from that fall, man has took the mindset of the behavior that if I write a self-help book, I can fix it. If I drink enough, I'll cause it to go away. If I take enough drugs, I can forget about it, et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera. But you can't take God out of the picture. You shouldn't take God out of the picture. You shouldn't take God out of the picture. But unfortunately, man always wants to take God out of the picture. He thinks and feels that he can orchestrate or design his life better than God. But if you look from the beginning of time, God has laid a blueprint through the Old Testament,
yes, sir,
through shadows, through visions, and through types. And then he fast forward ourselves now to when Jesus Christ came on the scene on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, sir.
And we find that in his beginning of his earthly ministry, he told the Jews and he told us through his words in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, murder began in the heart of man as seen with Cain and Abel. Adultery continues to be in the heart of man, as seen with David, with Bathsheba. Marriage is sacred and binding. God himself said, let no man put asunder what he has set in place. Amen. Jesus forbid oath, for God's made it quite clear that man should not make an oath he's not willing to keep. And he said, go the second mile. Put others first. Be of no reputation. Don't try to build a reputation for yourself. And then he asked something to man, as Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, he asked something to them that is hard today, just as well as it were hard back then, to love your enemies. Keep in mind, we were all enemies to God at some time. But then Paul, in the writing of Romans, he starts out by setting the framework or the blueprint for salvation. From the first chapter to the eighth chapter, he lays out the blueprint, letting us know that we are saved through justification, that we are saved through sanctification, and one day we will find glorification, he said to Paul as he wrote this Roman book. But then, as we get forward to our text, in the 11th chapter of Romans, the 11th chapter, that 33rd through the 36th verse, we see, as Paul writes, he reminds us of the greatness of God.
Yes, sir.
Then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he tells us of the gospel apply. He shows us how if the gospel is applied in our lives, it would change our mind.
Amen.
And change our direction. But then in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 3 to 8, once that change takes place, after we hear the gospel, we'll be willing to serve God with our spiritual gifts. But then Paul opened our text this morning in this 12th chapter, that 9th verse. He says, let love be without dissimulation. The Greek word here is anpokrios. Be genuine. Let it be real. Let it not be fake, our love. And then Paul reminds us of what the technical components of love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. He tells us all the things that love is and what it's not. But from the New English version of the Bible, Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, by our purity, our knowledge, and patience, and kindness, we have shown ourselves to be God's servant. By the Holy Spirit, by our true love. But then he tells Timothy, as he writes to Timothy, he tells him in chapter 1, verse 5, the purpose of this order is to arouse our love, the love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith.
Yes.
But then Paul lists the behaviors of a good Christian, a blueprint for what it means to have Christian behavior.
Yes, sir.
He tells us to abhor, to hate, to detest, to loathe that which is evil. He tells us to decree, to be cemented, to be glued to that which is glued.
Yeah, right.
Then he says to be kindly affectionate with brotherly love one to another.
Yes.
He said, don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't be careless. But have a fervent desire. But make it your life be fervent. Make it and maintain a zeal to have love and make it come to a boiling point within your life. That it perks over that everyone knows that you are. And we are a child of God.
Yes, sir.
He says, servant, put our life into service for God, whether or not we're looking for personal gain or applause. Don't do it for personal gain, or don't do it for applause. But do it because of what God has done for each and every one of us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then he says, rejoice. Let our hope be in joy. Knowing that God has set in place the plan for our salvation.
Yes, sir.
He said, be patient, showing patience in all of our troubles. No matter what trouble comes before us, let us show patience when trouble comes.
Yes,
he says, continuing, living in a fervent prayer life to God. Continually call upon the name of God. Then he tells us to distribute. Always be able or be willing to contribute to the needs of the saints.
Yes. All right.
He said, give. Make it a practice to show hospitality.
Yes, sir.
Make it a practice to show hospitality.
Yes.
It makes a great difference when you feel like somebody wants you be around. Or wants to be around you. Or wants to be near you. Or wants you to be a part of their life.
Yes, sir.
But only that can be demonstrated through love. He says, bless. Bless our habitual persecutors. Pray for those that persecute us. Rejoice to take a living interest in the prosperity of others without grudging. Weep and show genuine compassion for others.
Yes, sir.
Be of the same mind. Live in harmony and on one accord with everybody that you can. Mind not, do not be unlawfully ambitious to be rich and powerful in this world. Don't be condescending. Don't associate with those just because they have something to give you. Don't be condescending because you only think that, like the scripture has told us, when you give to those that can give back to you, you already got your reward already. But he says, give to those that are low and meek and poor in this world, that you might show forth the love of Christ. He said, don't be conceited. Don't be vain in your love. But then Paul goes on to say, if you do that, you show that within the body of Christ. But if you to recompense that which is outside of the body of Christ, he says, don't recompense no man evil for evil. If it be possible, live peaceable with all men. He says, beloved, avenge not yourself. Don't take revenge because somebody mistreats you. For God reminds us, for vengeance is his, saith the Lord. He reminds us, he says, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And he says, if you do this, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And he says, do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. But then James picks it up in the English version. He says it this way in James 3 and 17. But the wisdom from above is pure. First of all, it is also peaceful, gentle, and friendly. Yes. It is full of compassion and produces the harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. That's why Jesus came down through 42 generations to save those who were lost. But he told us in John 4, 1 John 4, 19, 22, 21, God is love. And when you take on the character of God and you follow the blueprint, you will learn how to love as God showed us how to love. Then in John 3, 16, he said, God showed his love. God demonstrated his love toward us. And while that we were yet sinners, he died for us. But then in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, he says, God came with no reputation. And with all humility, he died for us. One day he took an old Roman cross and he marched up a hill called Calvary. And he walked up that hill for you and I, that we might have a right to a tree of life. Yes, he allowed them to put a thorn of crowns on his head. Yes. He allowed them to put nails in his hand and nails in his feet. Yes. He allowed them to pierce him in his side. And he stayed on that cross from the sixth to the ninth hour. Yes. And he hung his head in the lock of his shoulder. Yes. And he gave up the ghost. Yes. And he stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights. Yes. But early Sunday morning, love got up, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Love got up that we might be able to follow the blueprint that he laid down for us. Love showed us the way to love each other. Love gave us the right to love each other. But we gotta take love and walk with love.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.